From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Sasha Pfeiffer.
I'm Robin Young at NPR in Washington, D.C. today. It's Here and Now. In a few minutes, thoughts on schools resegregating 60 years after the Supreme Court decision integrating them.
But first, sounds of celebrations in Delhi after the astonishing election results in the world's largest democracy. Here's what the man expected to be India's next prime minister, Narendra Modi, tweeted. He said, "India has won. Good times ahead." Modi leads the Hindu Nationalist Party, BJP, which is on its way to a landslide victory. The BBC's Rahul Tandon joins us from Calcutta. And Rahul, would you first give us a sense of how surprising this victory is for the BJP and how people are reacting to it?
I think, Sasha, nobody's surprised that Narendra Modi is on course to be India's next prime minister. I think what everybody is stunned, astonished, are some of the phrases that people are using here in Calcutta and other major cities in India, is the margin of the victory. This is a country that has been used to coalition politics for almost 20 years now, where you have a group of parties acting together as the government. Narendra Modi has smashed that to smithereens, and basically he looks like he's going to have a very strong mandate from the people, a majority here that nobody expected. Even when the exit polls came out and said he could get close to it, many people dismissed them, saying that in a country where 814.5 million people could possibly vote, that it's impossible to make predictions. So really, people are stunned here, none more so than the Congress Party and the Gandhi family who've ruled India for many years.
And tell us about the BJP party in terms of its appeal and why so many Indian voters responded so positively to it.
Mr. Modi, I think, is the answer to that question himself. He ran a U.S.-style presidential campaign right from the beginning. He's had this idea, I think, in his mind of being the Indian prime minister for many, many years now. The campaigning, the level of campaigning that he undertook, he's a man who's in his early 60s. Every day he was having three rallies in different parts of India, using helicopters to get there, then flying home to spend some time with his mother, as a good Indian boy does. I think it's his personal campaigning, his focus on development. He is, of course, a very controversial figure. Some say a man who could alienate different religious communities here in India. And I also think people had become tired of the Congress Party. There had been a series of scams which had seen fingers pointed at senior figures within that party. And I think the Indian public finally lost faith with a party that got this country independence from the British many years ago.
And the Congress Party, which you're talking about, which has been so successful in past elections, has already conceded defeat. Do they acknowledge that they did anything wrong? Have they talked at all about the loss and what could have been different?
They've said, senior Congress figures have said, that they didn't communicate their message effectively enough to the Indian electorate, which is clearly the case. We've had Sonia Gandhi, the president of the party, Rahul Gandhi, the two senior figures in the party, claiming responsibility for it. I think it's a very interesting time now for the Congress Party. Is this, as they face the worst defeat in their history? They've won less seats in the whole of India than the BJP has won in India's major state, Uttar Pradesh. Is this a time when the party begins to move away from the family that has really been the bedrock for them? It's going to be interesting to see what happens over the next 6 months and the next year, and who effectively is going to take responsibility for what really is a catastrophe for them.
And in terms of Narendra Modi, the likely next prime minister, what should India and the world expect in terms of his agenda, his initiatives, his mission?
He's already made a speech in Vadodara in Gujarat, where he is the chief minister, and you said it there yourself. He's promising the people of India good times ahead. But he faces a huge task in this country. This is one of the most unequal countries on this planet. You have some of the richest men here, and you have, you know, huge numbers, millions of people still below the poverty line here. And how he manages to take all sections of this country forward is going to be a real challenge. But if you look at what he's done in the state of Gujarat, he's a man who's been very hard on corruption. He's a man who made his state very business friendly. I think that'll be music to the ears of a lot of American companies, which could see that parts of the Indian market that have been closed suddenly beginning to open up.
One thing that Narendra Modi has been persistently criticized for is not apologizing for those 2002 religious riots in Gujarat that killed at least 1,000 people, mostly Muslims. Did he address that criticism as he campaigned during this election? And in particular, did he address the charge that he's anti-Muslim?
I don't think specifically, no. It's always a question that he's not really answered, I think, even though he's on the verge now of becoming the most powerful man in the world's largest democracy. But certainly during the course of his campaigning, he was more inclusive than I think some people thought he was going to be. He's a man who comes from the Hindu nationalist movement, the RSS. But he did at times, he did stress during the election campaign that he did not want to play the religious card. At one stage he said rather than playing religion as a political issue, he would prefer to lose this election. But I think a lot of people felt that he had the Hindu vote already in his pocket. So we'll have to wait and see how he lives up with some of the comments that he made during the election campaign. This is a country which has one of the largest Muslim populations in the world. And many of them, I think, are scared about an India under Narendra Modi and whether it's going to be inclusive, as maybe other governments have been in the past.
That's the BBC's Rahul Tandon speaking to us from Calcutta. Rahul, thank you.
Thank you very much.